If that is for the worship team members, how about to our living God? Amen. Yeah, we thank our living God for giving us such dedicated men of God to use their giftings to serve our living God in worship. This morning, I'm privileged to talk on the title, Dealing with Uncertainty. Dealing with Uncertainty. And our main text will be taken from the book of 2 Chronicles 20, the verse 3, 4, and 12. Those are the areas that we'll be focusing on in our studies this morning. And it reads, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord." The verse 12 says, "Oh, our God, would you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Beloved in the Lord, with every stage of life, even the ones we think we are so prepared of, comes a degree of uncertainty that we cannot unravel. As the year is drawing to a close, we might have been caught up in making decisions regarding to our relationships, regarding to our finances, regarding to our family lives, regarding to our time, values, opportunities, careers, and so many other things. Some of us will even be called upon to settle disputes with so much uncertainty. But in the midst of all these uncertainties, we can always be certain of one thing. That is, our God is very certain. His promises are sure and amen. And if that is so, then we can be rest assured that if we have him, then there is no fear in moments of uncertainty. He would walk with us in all uncertainty situations. King Jehoshaphat was faced with 3 kingdoms in battle. Therefore, the Bible says he feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. He declared in the verse 12, "Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Maybe that could be your confession this morning. Surrounded with so many issues that you have no clue as to how to resolve them. Your uncertainty level is rising every now and then. But I'm here to tell you, if you look up to the Lord and engage in a spiritual activity like seeking the Lord, fasting and praying, calling on believers to join you in your prayer, I can assure you that there will be a turnaround, just as it happened in the life of King Jehoshaphat. But then if we tend to look at our own abilities, our connection with people, then I can assure you that failure is ahead of you. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, once again, we come before you, Lord. We surrender to you all that is about us, Lord. All that we think we are in control of. And all that we think that, Lord, is under our care. That you come and take control and make manifest your will and your purpose over us, Lord. Father, I humbly call on your name, Lord, to nail me on the cross of Christ and let the life of Christ flow through me to your people. Let all that will proceed out of me be that which will proceed out of Christ. And let it have the needed impact, Lord, as it would have had on the people that Christ would have been talking to. In the life of your people, Lord, never let them ever be the same. Be unto us, O Lord, according to your word and according to your promises this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, in this life, uncertainty is a permanent part of progress. It's something that is part of our lives. And if you want to go forward, you cannot overrule uncertainty. You would certainly face it. It never goes away. And it's also not an indication of a poor life. If you are faced with so much uncertainty, it doesn't mean that your life is very poor or your life is not the best before God. It's not an indication. Rather, it is a very needful tool. Something that is indispensable if you want to progress. Because it provides us an environment to discover and to increase our intimacy with our living God. Just like it happened to King Jehoshaphat. When he was surrounded with these three kingdoms, and his uncertainty level as to how the battle is going to be like, his fears were so high. The Bible says that it moved him to bring the whole nation together to seek the face of the living God. And that brought about the mighty hand of God on the nation Judah. And that could be your portion if you perceive uncertainty, not on a negative sense, but on a positive note, that the Lord is one to draw your attention to himself. And therefore, if you then take it from that perspective, I can assure you that the situation that seems to be overwhelming you, the Lord will give you the power to overcome it. So what are these times of uncertainties in our lives? Personally, one of the things that I've realized in this life that causes uncertainty in our life is silent moments in life. Nobody in life enjoys the Lord or our God keeping silent on our prayers or on our situation. When we are in a situation, we all the time want a response, some comment about our situation. And so nobody in this life enjoys silent moments. King Jehoshaphat felt God has been silent over his life as a king, when he was surrounded by three kingdoms, without knowing where to turn to, knowing that his military strength can't match up with them, and all that he thinks he is having are not enough. And so he felt that the Lord should do something immediately. And that moment of silence increases our uncertainty moment. We all want quick response. And we all enjoy people commenting on our situation to show care and concern, giving us their advice as to how to handle it. And so when people keep silent on our situation, we feel insecure and our uncertainty level rises. Moments of God's silence could be classified under two conditions. That's what I have classified them under. The very first one that we can think about is sin. Sin is a very deadly element, not to you alone, but then it hinders our relationship with our living God. It builds a block between us and God, and therefore our communication with God does not become effective. And so Isaiah put it in this way, in Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, it says, our iniquities have separated us from our God, and our sins have hidden his face from us, so that he will not hear us. So that is something that sin can do. It brings separation. It hinders communication. And so it makes God to keep silent on our situation. Jeremiah also lamented on that same situation when the sins of the Israelites were so grievous before our living God. He said, you have covered yourself with a cloud that prayer should not pass through. Jeremiah complained to God that the Lord had covered himself with a cloud that prayer could not go through, simply because of the iniquities of the children of Israel by then. And David also realized that if he recognized or keeps iniquity in his heart, the Lord will not hear him. That can also be found in Psalm 66, verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And all these are driving to the point that sin is not something that we should entertain in our life. If we allow sin into our life, it hinders our communication with God. And we will realize that God has kept silence on our situation. which causes us to think that maybe the Lord doesn't care and brings about uncertainties in our lives. Our God hates sin and does not like people who would allow sin into their life. And therefore, if we want our living God to hear us, then we must stay away from sin. The second thing that we can look at is for the sake of God's glory, for the sake of our future and God's assignment on our lives. Our assignment and future sometimes prompts God to keep silent on our situation. The supreme situation we can look at is Christ at the Garden of Gethsemane. And this situation, all of us, at the point in time, we face them. When we come before God, knowing that our strength is not enough, yet we want A, not B. And so we tell God, with all our hearts, that maybe we wish this, but yet let your will be done. You are not so certain of that which you are asking, the aid that you are going for. And so you finally come before the Lord and say, let your will be done. As Christ prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane, a state of uncertainty. And we all the time find ourselves in such situation. Here, because of Christ's assignment to face the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that he wished the burden be taken or removed for the sake of the immediate situation that he was about to face. And those references could be found in Mark 14, 33 to 36 and other reference on the screen. But the Lord did not honor the earlier request. Rather, the last one, which was, let your will be done, was what the Lord honored. And that was for the sake of facing the cross, for the sake of our redemption, for the sake of saving us from sin. When you look at the life of Joseph, one may ask, where was God when Joseph was sold into Egypt? After God giving him a big dream about his future, Joseph did not go to God and ask God, Father, give me a good future. But it's God who unveiled the future of Joseph unto him. Yet, God kept silent for him to be sold into slavery. God kept silent for him to be imprisoned without committing any offense. And going through all this for the sake of his assignment, the future of God concerning his life. And that could be your story that you did not ask for. But then because of your assignment, because of your future, you are going through tough times. You are going through difficult times. Your uncertainty level keeps on rising every now and then. And sometimes you ask, where is God? Is God aware of my situation? But I'm here to tell you that he's much aware. He's the one that has commissioned you. And therefore he's leading you on. So his glory is made revealed in your life. When you look, and so the times of God in our life, the Bible says that he made all things beautiful in his time. If it is not time for him to be glorified in your life, it's no other time. You have to wait for God's timing, because at the right time, he will make everything beautiful. The struggles, the uncertainties will keep coming, but at the right time, he will appear and he will show himself strong on your behalf. And so we are admonished that our time will certainly come. Even though it tarries, wait, it will certainly come. It will not be that forever. The Lord will appear in the situation and will turn your situation around for his name to be glorified in your life. Maybe your case may be that of Job. Job was living well, but then suddenly attack began in his life. And one may ask, where was God when he was tested by Satan? Faced with various calamities, such as the loss of his domestic animals, the death of his servants and the children, as well as personal sickness. Where was God? What did he do wrong? Maybe that could be your situation. You realize that you've done nothing wrong, Things were moving well, but all of a sudden, your uncertainty level begin to rise because of situations that you are faced with. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord never meant that situation to destroy you, just like it happened to Job. The situation didn't destroy Job. At the end of Job was much more better than the beginning. As he waited before the Lord for God's timing, the Lord honored his word in his life. So I'm here to tell you that the Lord our God is 100% aware of your situation. Nothing about your life escapes his attention. And so all that he's telling us this morning is that we should be still and know that he is God. Wait on him and know that he is God. He is there for you. He is in your situation. That fire, he is the fourth person in it. That water that you think is about to sweep over you, you will see Christ walking on that water and will calm that raging storms that you are faced with. If only you wait on him. So these are basically the two situations that causes God to be silent on our lives. You could get more from it, but this is the one that I'm here to present to you. The uncertainty of King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat prayed, "We do not know what to do." And that simply tells us that he does not know everything in this life. King Jehoshaphat does not know everything in this life. He is limited. His best is not enough. His best is not enough. King Jehoshaphat, at this point, his situation could be just like you are. You realize that the situation you are faced with, you don't have the full idea, the full picture of it. You are so limited. And your very best is not enough to face that situation. King Jehoshaphat, at this point, is limited in so many ways. He does not know everything, even though he was the king of Judah. He was a righteous king and set his heart on seeking the Lord. Yet he was faced with a battle that put him in the state of uncertainty. The Bible says in the verse 3, he feared. He feared because of such a vast army that has surrounded them. Because of the situation you are in, you are afraid. You don't know what is going to happen. Beloved, in this situation, King Jehoshaphat, not that he didn't know what he wants. King Jehoshaphat, he knew what he is looking for. Like you do, you know exactly what you want. He was looking for victory over his enemies. Like you do, you know exactly what you want in this situation. He wants success in this battle, but cannot find a way forward. Maybe that could be your situation. That you don't actually know what to do, where to turn to. But I'm here to tell you that if you turn to the Lord and set your eyes on him, he will bring you the relief that you need. The deliverance that you need, the change that you need in your situation, you would have it. You may be a believer walking in the light of God, but you are surrounded by great challenges that you feel very inadequate to face those challenges. Your uncertainty level is growing higher day by day. Please, I'm here to tell you that God never meant that situation to destroy you. Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 verse 11, that his thoughts about us are not evil, but that of peace. That which will give us future and a hope. So the Lord never meant any situation in our life to destroy us, but that which will give us a future and a hope. And so I'm here to encourage you that set your love upon this great God, as King Jehoshaphat did. He set his heart to seek the Lord. And if you set your love upon the Lord today, he will certainly show up and will bring about your deliverance. As written in Psalm 91 verse 14, that Moses was set his love upon the Lord, therefore the Lord delivered him. In Psalm 91 verse 14, our deliverance will come if only we will set our love upon the Lord. If only we would focus on him with our hearts in seeking him. Just like in Jehoshaphat did, and the Lord gave him deliverance, he can also give you deliverance if you set your heart upon this great God. Maybe you are not a believer, or you are aware, or you were once a believer, but now have fallen, or maybe for one reason or the other, you are not keeping to the command of God, and therefore you are faced with so many difficulties in this life. Not that you don't know what to do, you know exactly what you are looking for, but you have no power to get to where you want to get to. I'm here to tell you that the Lord requires of you to repent so that you get the needed strength, you get the needed favor, the needed power to overcome all obstacles in your life. The second situation that caused uncertainty in the life of King Jehoshaphat was that he does not have the needed strength. He realized that, and so he said, "For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us." In the verse 12. King Jehoshaphat, as powerful as he was as a king of Judah, yet could acknowledge his inadequacy before his opponent. Therefore, he felt he needed help. He needed the support of all concerned people around him in fasting and seeking the help of God. Is that our attitude in moments of uncertainty, when we realize that our strength is not enough? Do we fall on believers, people of like-minded, people that will bear with us our burden, to call on the mighty name of the living God for a deliverance? I know, beloved, that you may be feeling very weak in your situation. The pressure may be too much for you to bear. But I'm here to tell you that if you would look up to our living God, he will bring you the relief that you need. Not the people around you, but the living God that we serve. Sometimes you may ask, does God really care about my situation? Is he aware of all that I'm going through? But I'm here to tell you, yes, he really cares and is much aware of all that you are going through. Nothing about your life escapes God's attention. If we will come before him in fasting and prayer, seeking for his help, we will find it. And the Lord will give us rest in all our struggles. He did it for King Jehoshaphat and the nation Judah. And so the Bible says something that God knows the strength of us. The letter that was written to the church in Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3, the verse 8, the Bible says that the Lord said, "I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name." Our God is a covenant-keeping God, and he knows our strength. He knows that we are unable to face the difficulties and the challenges. And therefore, his word to us today is that we should see that he has set before us an open door that no one could shut. Why did he do that? Because he acknowledged in the text that the people had kept his word and have not denied his name. In your little strength, in your little ability, that very area you find yourself, what are you doing to honor the name of the living God? That situation in which you are you complaining? And are you accusing God for maybe allowing all those things to happen in your life? We must fulfill all righteousness in all situations by keeping his word and not denying his name, so that the door that he has kept open will forever be open until you go through. It will never be shut. That situation you are calling on the name for, it will still be there if you keep faith with him. Until you go through, that situation will never be over. If only we would keep his word and will not deny his name. And so that is the exhortation that he gave to the church in Philadelphia. Our God, as I said, is a covenant-keeping God who honors his command, his covenants and his promises concerning our lives. And so, if not yet ready, beloved, we have to wait for his timing. The Bible says in Psalm 31 verse 15 that our times are in his hands. Our times are not in our hands. That maybe you have scheduled that come next year, maybe you must be that, you must get here, you must acquire that. But probably that is not God's time for you. That could be earlier than that, or maybe after that. And so our times are not in our hands. Our times are in his hands.
And so at his own time, he makes all things beautiful. The last thing that caused uncertainty in the life of King Jehoshaphat was that he cannot control the future. King Jehoshaphat said, "Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." A king but cannot control the future. In Proverbs 27 verse 1, the Bible says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And ultimately, we must realize that it's only God who is in control of the future. Even the next 10 seconds, you have no clue what it will offer you. It's only God who has control over the future. And so Proverbs chapter 19:21 also indicates that there are many plans in a man's heart. Still, the Lord counsels that will stand. We have so many things, but it's what the Lord had purposed is what will come to pass, not as we desire. So you and I, we have no control of the future, just like in Jehoshaphat. And so that brought about a state of uncertainty in his life. King Jehoshaphat knew this. Therefore, he called for fasting and praying, seeking the face of the Lord. You and I could do likewise, so that we can have control of the future. We can have the one who has control to be on our side. That is God. When we come before the Lord through fasting and prayer, we are drawing the Lord closer in our situation. And when he gets into our situation, he who has control of the future will show you your way forward, will give you power over the future. And so we can only overcome such a situation when we come before the Lord through prayer and fasting, so that we can draw his presence into our situation. God is with us. God is for us. Therefore, we must know that there is no one in this world that can be against us. No situation in this world that can be against us. Romans 8:31. So how then do we overcome all these uncertainties in our lives? To be honest with you, beloved, should you and I know exactly what to do in every situation? Should we, you and I, have the needed strength or the power to control the future in every situation? We will never come before God in prayer. A typical case is when everything is going well with us. When things are so normal with our lives, just assess your relationship with God. Whether it's as if supposing things are not going well. When things are not going well, we are compelled to come before God seeking his face. But when things are going well, we think that we are in control. And so we least go to God. And so that's basically our nature. That's basically how human beings are created. But here, as we think of overcoming all these uncertainties, the first thing that we can think about is absolute trust and keep moving forward. The verse 15 and 16, God told King Jehoshaphat and Judah, "Do not be afraid nor dismay because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them." When they were able to draw God into their situation, the person who has to fight the battle then appears. That is God himself. And so the situation in which you are, if you think that your own strategy, your own ability will be enough, then I can assure you that you are likely to fail. But if you wait on God, for God to appear in your situation, he will tell you that the battle belongs to me. Because you are called by my name. You are bought by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so the name of the Lord is on you. So your battles are not yours. It's the battle of the Lord. And so when they came before the Lord, the person who ought to fight the battle appeared in the situation. And he told them, "Why are you in a state of fear? The battle is not your battle. It's my battle. But yet you have to also go down there. You have to still keep going forward. You have to still
keep fulfilling all righteousness. You have to keep obeying the command of God. The battle belongs to the Lord does not mean that you fold your hands and you sit in your room. You still have to get out there and fulfill all righteousness. And so that is exactly what God was demanding of them, that they have to get down there and face them. In Exodus 14:15, the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people that they go forward. Tell the children of Israel that they go forward. Behind them is Pharaoh and his army coming after them. And before them is the Red Sea." The Red Sea at that time had not parted. It could be your situation. At this time, there is no clue as to how to overcome that situation. And yet, the Lord is saying, go forward. Take a step and keep moving forward. Even though there is no light in the tunnel, there are no grapes, no grapes on the fig tree, yet the Lord is saying, rejoice. Wipe away your tears and praise his holy name. Come before him with thanksgiving. Rejoice evermore. Don't let the anxiety weigh you down. That is what the Lord is saying. That go forward. The Red Sea is still there. The difficulties are still there. You don't have to let those difficulties limit the grace of God in your life. The power of God in your life is much more greater than the difficulties that you are faced with. If only you trust him and you look up to him. And so the Lord is admonishing us this morning that we need to go forward. Close your eyes to all that people you are seeing around you. Close your ears to all that people are saying. Those voices, except the voice of the Lord, that will stand. All other voices will not stand. Close your ears to all those voices and open up your senses, your spirit, to the voice of the living God, and he will show you the way forward. He will show you the kind of tree to cut and put into that bitter water for it to turn to become sweet for you to drink. That difficult situation, the Lord has a solution for it to be turned around. If only you look up to him and you open up your senses to the living God. The second thing that we must look at is we must seek counsel. I believe King Jehoshaphat did not take unanimous decision on proclaiming a fast and seeking the Lord, but might have considered or maybe consulted the elders of the land for counsel as to exactly what to do. And therefore, we also need to consult people that might have been experienced in the situation that we are faced with. People that might have gone through that same situation before. People that could give you a godly counsel. King Solomon was noted to be the wisest king ever lived. But yet he is the one too that wrote about seeking counsel more than any other person in the Bible. He talked about seek counsel, seek counsel, seek counsel. Yet he was the wisest, the most richest. So one could have said he had all the wisdom. Why are you talking about seeking counsel? But then he realized that when we submit in seeking counsel, the level of error that we are likely to commit becomes minimal. When you seek error, when you seek counsel, in moments of difficulties, your error level becomes minimal. Even if you fail, it will not be as if you did not seek counsel. And so seeking counsel is something that is so important. And so in Proverbs 11:14, it says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." When you seek counsel, you are likely to be on a safe ground. And the final thing here is, have a plan before the Lord. In Proverbs 16:3 and Psalm 37 verse 5, we are admonished to commit our way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In fact, there is no personal plan that will grant us the security or the safety that we need in life. That one is not true. But all they say, we are admonished to come before the living God with a plan in our hands. And if we are planning, we should plan with the one who has control over the universe. That is our God. He has control. So submit your plans unto him. You might have planned with this great God, about all that you want to do, but sometimes you get before him and he will tell you, tender in your plans into my hands, and I'll give you the winning plan. All of you are on the same page. You want to win. And he is having the winning plan in his hands. You think that the plan you are having in your hands could give you victory? Fine. But then he could see beyond what you could see. And so he knows that which would be best for you. And so he expects you to tender in your will, tender in your plan, tender in your desire before him, for him to give you that which will take you to excellent future. The Lord will require of us sometimes in life to tender in our plans. For in the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:42, the Bible says, Christ said, Father, it is not, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. At that point, Christ had to tender in his desire. His will has to be buried in the will of the Almighty God. And sometimes in our situation, we have to let our will be buried in the will of the Almighty God, so that the victory will be secured. That which we are afraid of, we have the power to overcome. Beloved in the Lord requires of us to surrender unto him. And when we do that, our lives become protected, and we are able to do everything that the Lord wants us to do. For our God is the one who holds the future. He holds the universe in his hands. And so in Isaiah 14:26-27, it says, this is the purpose that is purposed against the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out over all the nations. For the Lord of hosts had purpose, and who would annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who would turn it back? There is no one. There is no one. So if we plan with such a God who had purpose your life, who have destined your future, there is no one who can cancel it. There is no one who can turn it back. Just like it happened in the King Jehoshaphat's life. God has already declared his judgment. God has already declared that the people that rise against the children of God, they will face the wrath of God himself. That is what God has declared. He said that the enemy shall come against you like a flood, but by his Holy Spirit he will lift up a standard against them. That is what the Bible says. That is the judgment of God against the attacks of the enemy on your life. But it won't come cheap unless you come before this living God, seeking him with a genuine heart. Then you will see his hand stopping every work of the enemy on your life and fulfilling his victory in your situation. And so when they came before the Lord, our God stood in for them and he brought deliverance to their life. Beloved in the Lord, in moments of life uncertainties, we can cry unto God as King David did in Psalm 17:8. It says, keep me as the apple of your eyes. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. Keep me as the apple of your eyes and hide me under the shadow of your wings. This morning, as we come to the end of our message this morning, I want to entreat all those that can stand a moment of prayer. You stand as we pray together. If you can't stand, sit down comfortably and join us in prayer as we pray. I want us to come before this living God. He is an awesome God. He is a powerful God. He has all power in his hands. He has the future in his hands. If we will trust him with our life today, all our anxiety will be over. The Bible says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This hour, I want you to begin to thank God for all you are going through. Thank God for all your struggles, all your fears, all your uncertainties. As the year is drawing to a close, there may be so many things that are eating you up. With regards to your finance, with regards to your job situation, your family situation, where to get resettled, maybe after here. So many things are bothering your mind. But this good God has the key in his hand. Just come before him with a heart of thanksgiving. Thank him for him knowing all about you before you were even born. Just be grateful unto our living God. Father, we are grateful unto you for today. Your word admonishes us that we should be anxious for nothing, but in all things, Lord,
by prayer and supplication, we should let our request be made known unto you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Your word says we should rejoice evermore. We rejoice in our struggles. We rejoice in our disappointment, in our failures, in our uncertainties. Father, we rejoice in it. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We thank you for having given us this privilege of going through these trials, these difficulties, these challenges, oh God, to try our faith. Lord, to test us whether we really love you. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We ask, oh Lord, your hand upon our lives, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Beloved, the Bible says in Psalm 55, verse 22, that cast your burdens on the Lord, and he will sustain you. What is that burden that is so heavy on your life? What is that fear that is so much in your life? Just talk to God. Cast it before the living God. Just lay it before the cross. Your way home is your way to the cross. Just lay it before the cross and seek him, that he should lessen your burden. He should lift it up and give you a reliever. Just begin to talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we surrender to you today. We trust in your might and your power. Father, our way home, Lord, is our way to the cross. We ask that may you grant us your spirit, O Lord, to hunger, Lord, more of you as we lead, O Lord, our life towards the cross. We pray that, Lord, the burdens in our lives, the situations that seems unsurmountable, Father, may the power of the Holy Ghost, O Lord, may you lift them up of our lives, O Lord, and give us the relief of our soul. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Last but not the least, let's pray that the Lord will keep us as the apple of his eyes. The year is coming to an end. The year 2003 is about to be launched. But the good Lord who kept watch over you this year, he is able to keep watch over you in the coming year. And therefore, I want you to pray that all that you are so uncertain about, just tell God, Father, keep your eyes over us. Keep us as the apple of your eyes. Keep that job as the apple of your eyes. Just need to talk to God that the Lord will watch over every situation, that he will honor his word over your life. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we humbly submit our life before you, Lord. We have no power over the future, but Lord, you do, Lord. So we surrender to you all that is about us in the future, that you keep your eyes over it, God. You keep us as the apple of your own eyes, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, let's pray that the Lord should hide us under the shadow of his wings against disasters. Human planned disasters, artificial disasters, things that we have no control about, that which overwhelm our strength. Just talk to God, that Lord God, hide us under the shadow of your wings. Let's talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we seek your hand upon our lives, Lord, to hide us, Lord. Hide us, Lord, in moments of disaster, in moments, O Lord, of occurrences that we have no control. O Lord God Almighty, hide our possessions, Lord. Hide all that we control, Lord God. Our family members, Lord, may they be hid under the shadow of your wings, Lord, that they would dwell there in safety. We thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Our great I Am, once again, we are grateful unto you, Lord. We thank you for this great privilege that we've had with you, Father, for we know certainly that, Lord, our way in this life is the way to the cross. Our way home is the way to the cross. May you grant us, Lord, the eagerness to go before the cross, to yield to the cross, that, Lord God, all our situations that seems unsurmountable, Father, would also yield to you. We pray in the name of Jesus that let the power that resurrected Christ from death, Father, begin to work in our lives, to raise any deadness, Lord. Things we have no control, Father, as we walk with you, the doors you've kept open, let them forever be open until we go through. Lord, we pray that you give us the needed strength to overcome all obstacles. We pray that the needed information, insight, connect us to people that would admonish us godly, that we'll get the needed strength and the needed knowledge that we need in this life, to live a life that will fulfill all righteousness unto you. Father, unto you be all glory, honor, and praise for your word that has come unto us today. Be thou exalted, even now and forevermore. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Shall we? Okay.